Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Today we're going to be talking about a fascinating report out from the U.S. Department of Education. It turns out that there is a significant rise in students being homeschooled. That has been a factor over the last 20 or so years as the number of students homeschooled has grown. But there are some really interesting aspects of this report. It's huge. It's about the size of the phone book as I'm holding it here. But this report indicates, for instance, that there are two patterns that I think deserve our attention. One of them is that higher income parents are turning to homeschooling. Now, that is significant for this particular reason. For years, many people have argued that homeschooling has been the choice of those who couldn't afford other options, such as private schools, Christian schools, prep schools. And what you're looking at here is the reality that that clearly is no longer the case. There is a significant rise in higher-income parents who are deciding to homeschool. We're going to be looking at some of the motivational factors, looking deeper at some of the statistics here, but it is becoming more and more clear that with well over a million American students being homeschooled, this is not a fringe movement. This is moving into the mainstream, and you can count on, and I think especially in these economic situations, you can count on even more parents making this decision. I think you can also count on something else. Homeschooled students who are reporting overwhelmingly that they intend to homeschool their own children. So you have an exponential generational factor out there as well. We're going to be talking about this on the Albert Mohler Program today, and I invite you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. There are a good number of homeschoolers out there in the audience as you're listening today, and there are others who are considering it, wondering what's really going on here. I think it's a good discussion for us to have every time an issue like this comes up. It really reminds us to go back to talk about a parent's responsibility. Parents together bear the responsibility to educate their children. And parents will choose and should choose, bear accountability to choose how that is going to be done. And the issue I want to come back to again and again and again that I do not believe people will hear just out there in the world is, number one, this is the parent's job. It's not the public school's job, even though parents may decide to put their kids in the public schools. It's not the job of anyone else you can hire out there. It's first and foremost a non-delegatable job for parents, and parents have to decide how to do that. That doesn't mean there's one answer to the question. It does mean the parents can't simply assume that someone else bears responsibility for the education of their children. The second thing I want to point out, just in terms of looking at this, is that parents are going to be rethinking this, I think, in terms of what is a moving, shifting, radically transforming situation in terms of modern education. So what many parents would never have considered, say even 10 years ago, now becomes very much a plausible possibility. We're going to be talking about all this decision-making and what goes into it today on the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to be looking at this report from the Department of Education and considering what it means for today's children and today's parents. Speaking of today's children, interesting report is out, USA Today's reporting. Here's the headline: TV can impair speech development of young children. Studies like this seem to recur from time to time as we learn more and more about the impact of television on the learning process, especially of very young children. A study that was released this week suggests that television may impair the language development of children as parents and children virtually stop talking to each other when the TV is on, even if they're in the same room. Here's a little statistic you can put in your thinking. For every hour in front of the TV, parents spoke 770 fewer words to children, according to a study of 329 children ages 2 months to 4 years. This is published in the journal Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine. By the way, adults usually speak 941 words an hour. Children vocalized far less in a room when the television was on. And the amazing thing is, again, just let me repeat these words, when the TV is on, parents and children virtually stop talking to each other. Now let's step back from this for just a moment. This study is really focusing on the problems that that may relate to speech development. We're asking questions about why some children are not speaking at the level of vocal ability that should be targeted to their age. People are coming back saying maybe television has a part. Well, let me just take that off the table for a moment. Let's say that language ability is not the main issue here. I'm not dismissing it as a concern, but let me tell you what concerns me a lot more. It's just those words, when the television is on, parents and children virtually stop talking to each other. Now, there's a whole lot going on there that's more important than speech ability in my frame of thinking. And there's just a whole lot of conversation that parents ought to be having with children and children ought to be having with parents, and the television becomes a third party that basically silences the conversation. The social effect there is far more important to me as a Christian parent and observer of things going on in the culture than, quite frankly, even the linguistic ability. Not that they're not tied together. The ability to talk comes from talking. And children learn how to talk, let's hope, from talking primarily with parents. If we now know, and by the way, just think in terms of your own observational experience, is it not true that when the television goes on, the conversation comes to a standstill? You know, we just might be a lot richer if the television was off and we found ourselves in conversation, of all things, parents with children, children with parents. President Barack Obama has signed an executive order declaring the month of June 2009 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Very interesting. The president wrote, 40 years ago, patrons and supporters of the Stonewall Inn in New York City resisted police harassment that had become all too common for members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. Out of this resistance, the LGBT rights movement in America was born. During LGBT Pride Month, we commemorate the events of June 1969 and commit to achieving equal justice under the law for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. The president also wrote, due in no part to the determination and dedication of LGBT rights movement, more Americans are living their lives openly today than ever before. I am proud to be the first president to appoint openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender candidates to Senate-confirmed positions in the first 100 days of an administration. That's a strange thing I have to interject here, I think, to point to. He says then, and this is a very long statement, now therefore I, Barack Obama, President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2009 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I call upon the people of the United States to turn back discrimination and prejudice everywhere it exists, period. Folks, these are difficult things to discuss under the best of circumstances, but let me just try, under these circumstances, to say what I think has to be said. What the president here is calling for, especially with the use of the word pride, is a very clear affirmation of these sexual lifestyles. The United States federal government, now by executive order signed by the president in the United States, is declaring national pride in these sexual lifestyles. This is not mere toleration. It's not merely calling for legalization. It's not calling for an end of criminal sanctions. It's not calling even for something like civil unions. It's not even directly about same-sex marriage. It's calling for pride. It's a very interesting category, isn't it? And the confrontation between the Christian worldview based in Scripture and the secular worldview is perhaps never more dramatically revealed than in this. In what should we find pride? Of what should we be proud? And here the Scripture just does not allow us to be proud of sin. And that's exactly, in an undiluted and unavoidable way, what we're being asked to do here. Well, looking at this from a bipartisan perspective, former Vice President Richard B. Cheney, according to the Washington Post, at a speech in the National Press Club, endorsed same-sex unions and gay marriage on what he called a state-by-state basis. The former Vice President, known for having an openly gay daughter of whom he has spoken in the past, said, quote, historically the way marriage has been regulated is at the state level. It's always been a state issue. And I think that is the way it ought to be handled on a state-by-state basis. But he said something else, too. And this is where the libertarian strain in much of the Republican Party becomes evident. Now, listen again. This is the former Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney. He said this, quote, people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish, any kind of arrangement they wish, end quote. You know, I don't even believe he means that. That's an absolute statement of moral anarchy. Now, let me read it to you again. He said, people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish. Any kind? Any kind of arrangement they wish. End quote. Maybe he thinks he believes that. Just ask folks, back in Utah when it was trying to enter the United States as a state and polygamy was ordered to come to an end. Well, if he says any kind of union they wish, any kind of arrangement they wish, Mr. Former Vice President, any kind means any kind. If you meant this, I shudder to think where it would lead. We'll be back to talk about this remarkable rise in homeschooling in America and fascinating patterns about who's actually homeschooling their kids. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We'll be right back with your calls on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I hold here in my hand a fascinating document entitled The Condition of Education 2009, published by the U.S. Department of Education, the National Center for Education Statistics. And they come up with this yearly, and it's a really interesting compilation of data about education in terms of K through 12. It's not specifically about homeschooling, but homeschooling emerges because it's a part of this picture. Now, USA Today ran a headline yesterday, more higher income families are homeschooling their children. When you actually print the report, you find out that's certainly in here. That's true. And as I said earlier, I think that's one of the most interesting revelations in this report. It tells us that homeschooling is becoming more and more mainstream. It isn't the choice of last resort, it's becoming the choice of first place in the part of so many families. Now, as you look through these statistics, there is no doubt that the largest number of those who are homeschooling students right now are conservative Christians, but they're hardly alone. And as a matter of fact, on the cultural left, there is a new resurgence of interest in homeschooling. Here are the numbers, by the way. In the spring of 2007, that's the last completed term for this study, in the spring of 2007, about 1.5 million, or 2.9% of all school-aged children in the United States were homeschooled. That's up from 850,000 in 1999, up from 1.1 million in 2003. So that's a big jump. In 4 years, an additional 4 million, almost an additional percentage point. Now, the percentages can become abstractions to us unless we do this. Let's just imagine you line up all of the public school students in America, all the school-age students, I mean to say, in America, all K through 12 age children. And when you get to 100 of them, you pull out a representative sample of 100, three of them are homeschooled. So with every 100 of them, three are homeschooled. And you say, well, 3% is not that large. It is huge when you look at the demographics of this country. And the fact that it is growing so fast means that this huge number is only going to grow larger. Homeschooling was such a marginal movement if you go back just 20 years ago. People hardly knew anyone who was homeschooling. Now, and especially in a lot of evangelical churches, there are huge homeschooling circles and associations that really shape a great deal of what's going on in the lives of young people today. That number again, 1.5 children in spring of 2009. Now, why are these children being homeschooled? That's one of the interesting things. And let me just read to you this paragraph. This is out of Indicator 6 in this report. This is huge. Typical bureaucratic language, but listen to this. Parents gave many different reasons for homeschooling their children. In 2007, the most common reason parents gave as the most important was a desire to provide religious or moral instruction, 36% of all homeschooled students. So over one out of three of all homeschooled students, the parents said they did it in order to provide religious or moral instruction. Now, that reason was followed by a concern about the school environment. So there were others, 21%, who said, we pulled our kids out of other schools, in particular the public schools, because of concern for safety, drugs, negative peer pressure. The next statistic is 17% who pulled children out of other schools because of dissatisfaction with academic instruction. And then 14% said other reasons, everything having to do with family time, finances, travel, distance, etc. An additional 7% cited the desire to provide their child with a non-traditional approach to education. Only 6% of homeschooled students are homeschooled because of health problems or special needs. So let's look at those numbers. You're looking at over 50% making a very clear parental decision to homeschool children because of concerns about the public schools and a desire to provide religious and moral instruction. And from that point onward, most of the other reasons are pretty much connected to those or derivative of those. They're basically very closely allied reasons given here. Now, the issue about academic instruction and dissatisfaction with academics, that's where a good number of persons from the cultural left come in, who want to come up with some kind of non-traditional educational program for children. Also, and this really relates to where my wife and I had to factor this in our thinking, for our own children, a remarkable number of parents say there's just too much time wasted in formal structured education, regardless of the school, whether it be private, public, Christian, you know, or secular. The reality is it's just a whole lot of wasted time. And then also, this hits pretty close to home in terms of where we have been, the statement is that parents say, I need more time with my children. And our family lives are being ruled by a school calendar and a school schedule that doesn't fit who we are as a family. Homeschooling fits. I'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. As Christian parents, let me come back to this. This is the bench plate. This is the actual foundation statement, the touchstone. We bear responsibility to educate our children. As in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are told that we are to teach our children. And thus, we can come up with partners to do that, whether the partners be public school, private school, Christian school, you name it. But at the end of the day, parents have the responsibility. We're the ones who are going to give an answer to God for the education of our children. In terms of whether they were educated, the Bible puts such a premium on learning, wisdom, but also in terms of the content of that education, what they learned, what kind of person they came as they learned, because education is not merely about facts, it's about the formation of the person. That's why it is so important from a Christian worldview. That's why it's so central to the understanding of what it means to be the Christian church, preaching and teaching the Word of God. The phone number again is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Traverse City, Michigan. Kathleen's on the line. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hi, Dr. Moeller. I began teaching my son when he finished up fourth grade, and it took us 2 years to determine that he had Tourette's syndrome and some other learning disabilities that went along with that. He had been in a Christian school. My older son did very well, but he didn't have some of the difficulties that my younger son had. Homeschooling wasn't even on my radar until that time, and I realized that he needed one-on-one. He needed far more help than even that he was even getting in a very small classroom with 17 children.
How old is your son now, Kathleen?
My son is just finishing up 10th grade. He's 16 years old. We began with 5th grade.
Now, when you say you made the decision to homeschool, having not really heard of it before, how did it come about that you made that decision at that time? What was it that convinced you that this is the direction you needed to take with this son?
Well, I had begun to hear more about it, but it was not something I ever thought that I could do. We have here in the Traverse City area, a very, I would say, large, for our area, homeschool organization that is so supportive. And so I just reached out into that community and began to get some real help in directing me, how do I do this, went to conferences, so that I would be educated myself in how to teach my son at home.
Well, and there is an art and science to that, but I have to tell you, Kathleen, I just thank you for your call, and I thank you for your faithfulness as a mom in doing this and in recognizing that the needs of your son, in this case, required you to do what, by any definition of recent American history, is non-traditional. Here's the good news, Kathleen. You know you're not alone. It's becoming more traditional all the time, as this report makes clear. And I pray God's blessings to you and your son. Let's listen to others. I'd like to hear from those who are struggling with this decision, trying to figure it out, parents who can speak about their own experiences, and it'd be great to hear from some who were homeschooled who can give testimony of what that's like, too. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK on the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, from time to time I'm asked a question, especially talking to people in the media about homeschooling, and people ask the question, why do parents do this? You know, what really is the tripwire? And according to this particular report from the Department of Education, you have parents say that at least 36% of them said that they're doing this in order to provide religious and moral instruction for their children. And then another very high percentage said they were doing so out of dissatisfaction with the public schools. Okay, well, let me tell you why that might be so. Here's a report. Adam Brinkley reports out of California. Listen to this. The Alameda, California public schools are adopting a curriculum that will require first graders to read literature that equates same-sex unions with a family made up of a mother, father, and child. Parents will not be allowed to opt their first graders out of the curriculum. Members of the Alameda United School District School Board voted 3-2 last week to implement the, quote, safe schools, end quote, curriculum, which supporters say is aimed at stopping anti-homosexual bullying in the schools. The program includes between 1 and 4 sessions each year between grades 1 and 5 to introduce students to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues. As part of the curriculum, second graders will be exposed to books like And Tango Makes 3, a story about two male penguins who hatch an egg and raise a chick together in New York Central Park. The report says, unlike health and sex education classes, the district will not allow parents to opt their children out of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender curriculum, angering parents and pro-family groups. Okay, so when people ask me, why do many parents, Christian parents, pull their kids out of schools? Just look at that one report. Not only is it being done in the schools, this program of, I would call, complete social revolution, but it's being done in a way that parents can't even opt their first graders. You heard that right. First graders, 5 or 6 year olds, they can't opt them out of the program. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Victoria calling from Altamont Springs, Florida. Go ahead, Victoria.
Yes, I was calling about, you know, the reason that people homeschool, you know, religious, the morals, the academics. And we homeschooled our 2 children. And I think the biggest thing that we saw between our children being homeschooled and our friends that did not homeschool is the relationship that is there with your children. You know, everybody wants to know why we're so close with our children, why our children enjoy being with us so much, not just their friends, but they enjoy being with us. And I just think that the benefits of homeschooling is the relationship that you have with your children that I don't think that we'd normally have if we didn't have that homeschooling element there.
Yeah, you know, that's a very important point, Victoria. So let's do some math here for just a moment. The average school day, I am told, is now approximately 6 hours and 45 minutes. So let's just round that up to 7 hours because it's going to take even more than 15 minutes to get the kid there and back. So let's just add that up. Let's say 7 hours. So that's 5 days a week. It's 35 hours. So that's 35 hours out of the child's waking time. Now, you add together Saturday and Sunday and the total number of hours in the week in 7 24-hour days, and you end up with a sleeping time for the child and everything else the child has to do, and you realize that 35 hours of prime waking time is the very center of the child's waking conscious life. Now, I'm not saying that putting a child in a formal and structured school environment is always wrong. Don't hear me to be saying that, because I thrived in a school environment, but there are many children who would not, and quite frankly, Victoria's point about the time with the children leading to deeper relationships, I think that's really something we need to hear. And if for nothing else, I think, you know, the calculation of how much time, and it's not just the aggregate number of hours, it's the prime time of the day. And it's not only that, it's the fact that school schedules so often become determinative of family life in ways that families simply can't match in terms of compensating other time. In terms of parents working, all kinds of things. Very interesting. By the way, I've received some email from parents who said one of the reasons that we homeschool is because our kids are much more involved in the church and are getting so much more of their peer context within the church than otherwise would be the case. Another interesting point. The phone number is 877-893-8255. The report that I am citing here was released in recent days. It's entitled The Condition of Education 2009. Released by the National Center for Education Statistics, of the U.S. Department of Education. We'll put a link up to the report at the website. We've had some folks write in and ask where they can see it. Well, that's where you can see it. Fascinating stuff. The two things that are being talked about most out of this report related to homeschooling are the fact that more higher-income families are moving into it. But there's another one I want to get in here before we lose the time, and that is this. There's been a radical increase in the number of girls being homeschooled over boys. Let's talk about why that might be the case. The phone number is 877-893-8255. I guess ask some hints, hunches as to why it might be so. Well, I think we need to talk about it. The number is 877-893-8255 on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We are discussing this interesting report that's just out on education in America, looking particularly at the issue of homeschooling, some interesting trends, more higher-income families turning to homeschooling, more children being homeschooled, now over 1.5 million. And here's the other one, an increasing disparity between the numbers of girls and the number of boys who are being homeschooled. And even though it was roughly equivalent at one time, the disparity is growing more. In 1999, it was 49% boys being homeschooled, 51% girls. So that's 10 years ago. Now, boys account for only 42%, whereas girls account for 58%. That's interesting, I think. You have any idea why? Why would it be that more girls are being homeschooled than boys? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. John's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Dr. Mueller. I just wanted to make a comment about the whole relationship thing with the parents in public schools. I myself went to public schools all my life, and I just never realized how much it took away from my relationship with my parents. And through high school, I didn't have that great of a relationship. And now looking back, I wish I were homeschooled so I did have a good relationship with them.
Oh, that's a very interesting point. May I ask, John, how old are you now?
I'm 23.
Okay, so you're not that far away from remembering back, you know, back when you were 16 or 17 years old. What do you think it would have meant to you when you were, say, 15, 16, 17 years old, if your parents said, you know, John, you're going to be homeschooled?
I probably would have, like, disagreed with them, but just because it was, I was immature at that time. But now looking back, I totally wish I would have been homeschooled, simply because I would have spent more time with them. I would be taught by them instead of some stranger in a public school.
Yeah, that's a fascinating statement, John. And I tell you what, it intersects so many of the things we've been talking about. It has such an authenticity coming from you and your voice. And, you know, it also gets to the issue where, as we were just talking about, this trend where more girls are now being homeschooled than boys. I think it's great to have a young man call and give this word. Thanks, John. Really appreciate your call. It is an interesting disparity here between boys and girls. And I'll tell you, I think a part of this probably is no doubt organized sports and the fact that a good number of boys moving into high school want to play on team sports. Now, depending on where you live, many school systems allow or are required to allow homeschooled students to participate in these team sports, but undoubtedly it's easier when they're inside the team. Now, you know, I have to watch what I say here because sports was never a big part of my life. And I don't want to suggest that it shouldn't be a part of someone else's life. But I will say this, it shouldn't be the issue upon which this kind of decision is made. It shouldn't be the only issue. It shouldn't be the deciding issue. Because long term, there are far more important issues at stake. But I'm not going to depreciate the fact that it can be a very important part of a teenager's life. And for that reason, that alone may explain this. However, I want to point out that when you talk about the need side of this, far more boys than girls report educational problems. Far more boys than girls are behind grade level in learning. Far more boys than girls have problems of social behavior in schools. And that leads me to wonder if indeed more boys wouldn't be benefiting by the increased attention and customized educational approach of homeschooling. Just something to throw out there. Let's go to Karen, listening on WFIA. Karen, what do you think?
Well, I'm just next year I'm switching from public school to a cottage school, which is 2 days in a school and then 3 days I'm homeschooling, and they provide the curriculum. And I'm just doing it with having volunteered all this year. I notice a difference from when I grew up and what it's like today in that parents aren't involved in school like they used to be. And you can tell a difference in the kids and the behavior in the classrooms. And I would just rather have him pick up our values and our morals and spend more hours with us than around people who, you know, where the kids aren't around their families and they're bringing, you know, teaching him ideas that
right.
I don't want him to know. And
Karen, how old is your son?
He's kindergarten this year.
All right. So you're making that decision very early. Do you feel support from your friends and family making this decision?
I do. A lot of them had not heard of the idea where they do the cottage school, where they're actually providing the curriculum and all that. They had not heard of that before. Some people think I'm nuts because I won't have free time, but I made the choice to be a mom because I wanted children, so I want to spend my time with them.
Yeah, that's sweet, Karen. I got to tell you, free time's overrated, and you're never going to regret spending that time. I really think it's a very sweet word. And you mentioned a cottage school, and some of those cottage schools are based upon models such as Dorothy Sayers in terms of classical approach, which I think can be very productive. My wife and I, for our children, have used a consortium school, which is very similar, which mixes a bit of parent-directed instructional time in the classroom, in which there is some classroom experience, along with the predominant amount of time being in the home with the child under the direction of parents and in a learning process that includes both the classroom and home time. So, Karen, God bless you. God bless your son. As you and your husband are making these decisions related to not only that boy, but however many other children you may have or the Lord may give you. God bless you for that. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Karen there was talking about a very young boy, kindergarten, and not making some of the decisions that parents of older boys are making related to athletics and all the rest. I do want to come back and say I think it's very significant if you've had this shortfall of boys being homeschooled as related to girls in a 10-year period. Something's happening there. And I'll tell you one of the dangers of the homeschool movement would be if indeed it turns out to be a movement about homeschooling girls but not boys. And there's a disparity there that clearly ought to be a matter of some interest and concern. The other side of that is, I want to come back to it, I think in most cases the justification is probably stronger from an educational perspective taken alone for homeschooling boys and homeschooling girls. Because boys are having far more trouble in a classroom environment. It's just not natural to put boys in a classroom where they have to sit quietly for long periods of time. I can just tell you that doesn't come natural to a boy. And that kind of structured instruction often is very difficult for boys to get a hold of because their interests are just very, very different. Love to hear from you any way you can communicate with us. We're always glad to hear from you. As you write us by email, write us at mail@albertmiller.com. You can always follow us at Twitter. And my personal tweeting is done under the name Albert Moeller. The program under Moeller Radio. Go to the Facebook page, which is the Albert Moeller Program. We appreciate hearing from intelligent listeners. Really appreciate some of the points you make. And one of the interesting things about radio is that people often have a thought that comes later. So go ahead and share it. Even if you can't share it during the time we're live on the air. We're going to come back. We've got some calls that I think really you need to hear. And there's some remaining points to be made. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Moeller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. We want to hear from Marie, listening to WFIA. Marie, what are you thinking?
I'm actually a teacher in a public school myself, and I understand that a lot of the parents are teaching, going for homeschooling due to all of the values that some of these children are being bringing into the classroom. And I would actually homeschool myself if it wasn't an issue of monetary reasons. So I totally support Karen's point of view earlier on the program. So,
Marie, that's a very helpful call. And I let me tell you, I'm thankful you are where you are, and I'm very thankful for your candor and affirmation here in terms of homeschooling as well. I think that's important to hear from someone who is a teacher professionally. and teaching in a public school context. Folks, you know, I have to say at every turn while talking about this that I don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all. You're not hearing me to say that I believe every set of parents is obligated to homeschool their children in a classical homeschool model. I don't think that is fair or right, because it really violates the fact that every parent needs to make that decision, every set of parents together needs to make that decision based upon what's right for their child under the circumstance. And that circumstance can vary. School systems vary. I'll tell you right now, if my child was threatened with the kind of moral instruction that I read about there in Alameda County, California, there's no way my kids would be in that school. On the other hand, there are school districts that are not there yet. We need to be thankful for that. There are kids who will thrive in a Christian school environment. There's some really fine Christian schools. And then I'll tell you, there's some Christian schools that are Christian in name only. You actually scratch beneath the commitments, and you just find a very superficial understanding of what it means to have Christian commitments in education. There are any number of issues. There are cottage schools and consortium schools and mixtures and hybrids of homeschooling and everything else. But I want to come back after saying all that and say, yes, every set of parents, every mom, every dad, you are a homeschooler. Now, that doesn't mean the classic sense of not having your kids in school, but you are teaching all the time. That is the context of the biblical understanding of parenthood. You go to Deuteronomy 6, and it talks about teaching children, and you're rising up, and then you're sitting down, and you're going out, and you're coming in. There's the constant reminder that we are teaching our children. So, folks, teach your children well. And take the responsibility to make the decisions that are right for your child or your children. And don't let the world intimidate you. Don't let the secular authorities intimidate you. Don't let family and friends intimidate you from doing what you before God believe is right. And then realize that regardless of what choice you make, you really need to maximize the time with your children. You know, what did we hear in the segment there as we began? One of the most important things you might need to do in homeschooling is turn the TV off and talk. Thanks for listening to the Albert Miller Program. Back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. This is your place for intelligent Christian conversation. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.